like to welcome everyone back to our Movie Business podcast series, where we'll be focusing on making sense of the new motion picture ecosystem. With me today, both Jason Squire, my partner in crime, who I'll introduce in a second, as well as Hal Vogel, Jason will introduce in a moment. Very quickly, Jason is a professor at the USC School of Cinematic Arts and the editor of the Movie Business book, Fourth Edition, which I've been a part of, and it's been wonderful to be a part of. So Jason, welcome, and why don't you go ahead and introduce Hal?
Oh, thanks so much, Ilan. Yes, it's really a privilege to introduce Harold L. Vogel, who is the Dean of Entertainment Analysts. His Entertainment Industry Economics, A Guide for Financial Analysis, 10th edition, comes out in June from Cambridge University Press. Other books are Travel Industry Economics and Financial Market Bubbles and Crashes. As senior entertainment industry analyst at Merrill Lynch for 17 years, Hal was ranked top entertainment industry analyst for 10 years by Institutional Investor, and also inducted into the magazine's All-American Research Team Hall of Fame. A PhD in financial economics, and also a chartered financial analyst. He has an independent investment and consulting firm based in New York City. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you, Jason, for the excellent and much appreciated introduction.
So let's jump in. The first question is a general question just to frame the subject. How would you characterize the financial profile of entertainment companies? Of course, this would be before the virus, compared to other industries.
Well, first of all, before I get into the weeds and details, the entertainment business will see good demand sometime into the future. People will still attend movie theaters and concerts and theme parks, but it's going to be a very long waiting period because they're going to have to get over staying away from people and crowds. The airline business and the hotel business will recover much faster because people have business meetings and there's an ultimate need for it that supersedes what happens in entertainment. What has happened now is what you'd call a paradigm shift. It's a much abused and often overused phrase, but this is the real thing. What you're going to see happen is that people are adjusting to working away from the office. They are afraid of crowds, and that's not going to disappear anytime soon. The financial aspect, to address your question directly, is that coming into this year, there were many business models and balance sheets that were overextended and exposed now as being weak. And we can go through a whole list of different companies in the sectors involved in entertainment. But many of the balance sheets, especially in the theater business, were stretched because there was a whole period of time when consolidation was rampant, and the exhibition business has now consolidated basically into three or four companies. And to do that, they incurred a lot of debt. The same thing applies to other industries and travel. For example, there were many companies, including some of the airlines and cruise ship companies, that piled on the debt, and you can see that from the end of 2019 balance sheets. None of them, including us, anticipated the severity of this. And they are going to be looking for cash, for loans, for money to tide them over. I cannot see that they're going to be sufficiently compensated by the politics because there are urgent needs for other things screaming for attention at this point. So the entertainment business will still be around long term, but they do not come into this with an easy path because of the debt levels that were incurred just prior. And they are also going to see considerable loss of audiences and ad revenues and all kinds of other credit-related issues. They're going to see lots of problems even when things start to come back. Now, I make the analogy that the book business looked about 10 years ago as though it was going to disappear. E-books were the rage, and that has not proven to be the case. They have a segment of the market that's retained. It's the same way with entertainment in movie theaters and other segments of the business. What happens in entertainment and media is that the older technologies tend to fade in importance. They do not disappear. They just fade in importance as other things come on stream. And so that's where we're at, is an exposure of weak business strategies in many of the companies who really ignored the financial risk for a very long time, and for a while were compensated very well for ignoring the risk. But now it has hit them pretty hard.
If I may just go back to a point you made about the impact of the current public health crisis that we're faced as a society and here in the United States and abroad. As you look at the broader business, and that goes to the production as well as the distribution beyond the theaters, I'm wondering if you see anything in particular that could potentially change the path going forward. Perhaps, we've seen consolidations of studios. Could that have, could there be changes in that area? I know there's a lot of streaming services going live one after the other in the next few months.
Right.
Where do you see that as well?
Well, starting with the streaming situation, people's budgets have been trimmed quite a bit. That's a nice way of saying that they don't have a job and they don't have an income anywhere close to what it was prior to this. And that means that their discretionary spending will be reduced. And that narrows the number of, or reduces the number of streaming services that will be supported. Now, streaming is shifting to become the dominant feature of film distribution, television as well. And that is going to be weeded out in the next year or two by the lower discretionary incomes that are available to consumers. So whereas you have five or six streaming services vying for customers, they are losing money hand over fist even before this, because even Disney was looking at 2024, 2025 before it, the streaming service Disney Plus would turn a profit. And it was going to cost them $1 billion or $2 billion or $3 billion a year to get to that point. You can be sure that there's going to be a very strong impetus to reduce the number of streaming services that a typical household will be able to afford. And that means price cutting. And price cutting will only exaggerate the losses that the streaming companies have. But streaming is obviously the future of the business. The business is shifting away from having large audiences. A lot of that, if you permit me to go into the history a little bit, I think it would be enlightening. Back in 1985, when the VCR finally came out, there was a tremendous concern by the exhibitors that this would eat into their theatrical attendance. And that was reasonable to expect, but it didn't happen for about 20 years. And the reason it didn't happen was the alternative technologies weren't there. There was a good demographic growth behind it still. Younger people coming up to their first jobs and being able to buy movie tickets and spend on restaurant meals and so on. And so until from 1985 through about 2005, there was little or no effect from this. And then it started to diminish, so that we had per capita theater attendance back over 4.1 or 4.3 in the last year. And this was before the crisis. It was 3 per capita attendance in North American theaters was 3.7. And that is going to continue on down as the windows between DVD and streaming and theatrical release, which is always first or has historically been first, those windows are narrowing. Streaming is coming on stronger because people are learning how to do this. They are becoming accustomed to stay at home. But also, we don't want to minimize the impact of technology, because in 2005 or 2010, you didn't have the broadband speeds, you didn't have the chip speeds, you didn't have mobile devices, and now you're coming up to 5G, and 5G can download or stream a movie without any latency in virtually seconds, whereas say 10 or 15 years ago, it would require an hour or more to stream, and you would have all kinds of interruptions with a little wheel spinning around for a couple of seconds. So the technology on that front is much different today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. And then you have the high-res large screen televisions at very reasonable prices. So most people in the middle class can afford a very high definition television screen, a large size in their homes. And that also makes a difference. And we didn't have that in 1985 or 1995 or even in 2005, but we have it now.
So let's turn to, thank you, Hal. Let's turn to some other issues going forward. What other trends you see just this past week or so? The news that Universal broke the exclusive theatrical window on Trolls 2, announcing that it was going to open the movie, you know, a day and date in effect. And some other studios are reducing the window, reducing the time between streaming and theatrical. You think this is just a one shot because of the virus, or what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's an important breach of the width of the window. The window is now definitely narrowed. And part of the pressure is that these movies generally cost upwards of $75 to, say, $200 million, and much more if you include advertising. And the studios are hurting because nobody is buying tickets, and they have this big capital commitment, and some of them are not in the best of shape when it comes to balance sheet debt. So they have to pay down the debt. They get into a credit crunch if they can't roll their commercial paper. We've seen that before. And so they have to go and look for credit extensions and draw their bank lines. And when they all of that leads to the idea that you better get some cash in the door as soon as possible. And the only way to do that is to narrow the window, breach the window, and change the structure of the business. And that's kind of what I was referring to earlier, is that this is what you would really call a paradigm shift, not the the overuse of that term and abuse of that term in many different areas. What this crisis does is it exposes the weaknesses, the financial weaknesses, and also the business strategy weaknesses, such as waste of capital at high prices to buy back shares. Now, buying back shares is a whole now a political issue, but you can say that there are real good uses for share buybacks, and you should be able to buy back shares now when the market is down 35%. That's the time to do the share repurchases. But these companies were buying high, and they lost tremendous capital. I can give you several examples of that. Viacom, bought back $15 or $16 billion worth of stock at high prices, $70, $80. GE back in 2008 bought back $25 billion worth of its shares just before the crisis, and they could not roll their commercial paper at the time, and they had to go hat in hand begging to Warren Buffett, who was kind enough to extend credit to them at 12% interest rates for a preferred. And the same thing happened with Warner, Time Warner, back in 2008 or so. The takeover guys and, by the way, the board of directors and the hedge fund guys and a lot of people said, you know, well, buy back shares. So just before the stock plunged to about $6 in the crisis of 08, they were buying back $20 billion worth of shares at about a price of around 18 or so, if I recall. So now is the time to do share repurchases. But of course, now they are being blocked politically, and they are not, they did it at the wrong time, basically.
One follow-up question I have is, as people are, especially the creative people are at home, I'm wondering what is going on with the entertainment industry right now, as best as you can gather, you know, from a creative perspective. Is this a time for the creative side to put together scripts? Is there a way for them to work on post-production from home? The home aspect, we're working remote. I wonder how that impacts the industry and whether that may perhaps continue after we all come out of quarantine.
Well, that's what I think is happening, is that people are becoming accustomed to working at a distance from home or for streaming. They are really in the forefront of what will be a diminished real estate market, because companies will say, why are we paying this high commercial real estate rent? We can have more people working from home. So I think that's one aspect of it. And on the creative side, I think that creativity will be the same or even larger or better or bigger than it ever was before. People can work with the new technology. They can do amazing things in a studio at home, sort of a mini studio, at relatively low cost. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot to buy, relatively speaking, a digital camera or an editing system. They can do a lot of things that they wouldn't have had time for in the past. So I think this might be a positive coming out of this whole situation. But on the other hand, they're not going to get paid as much for it, because the entertainment media industries are hurting on all levels, starting, let's say, with the exhibition companies, but extending over to the advertising side, where advertisers, no sense in advertising if nobody can go out and buy anything. So the advertising business is down. The theme park business is down. You look across the landscape, and it's pretty much across the board. Now, some things will come back faster than others, but the production side, the creative side, I don't see how that would be necessarily impaired. It's just it won't be paid as much.
Thank you so much. Jason, any final thoughts?
No, I think Hal has been so thorough that it's so enormously helpful and hopeful. The changes that he suggested that are upcoming, especially involving working from home, is a boon to those who are in the micro-budget realm, always shooting on the fly, always working, perhaps even shooting on an iPhone, and doing all of the capture and editing and post on a laptop. So there sure will. This is just to underscore for emphasis what Hal has said.
Well, thank you, Jason. I just want to end by saying that there's reason for optimism here, but you have to wait. You have to look out a year or two or three till things are restored to at least part where they were before. And so this will end, and it will result in newer technologies, techniques, creative efforts. And so it's a time that is very difficult right now, but it will have some happy horizons as well.
Well said. I thank you both for taking the time, especially now, for participating on the podcast. And we wish you well and be safe.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. You too.